The midlife crisis, often inevitable and amusing for bystanders, can manifest itself in any variety of ways. Maybe it's a sudden change of job or an incredible urge for adventure travel. For many, though, it's all about the car, fast, sleek, and full of cool new gadgets. Today, we talked to LA Times auto critic and 2004 Pulitzer Prize winner Dan Neal about the cars that make getting older a whole lot easier. He'll also bring us up to speed about the latest in automobile innovation on display at this week's Detroit Auto Show. So, tell us, what's your midlife crisis car? Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. The email address is talk@npr.org. And you can comment on our blog. It's at npr.org/blogofthenation. Dan Neal joins us now from the studios at the LA Times in California. Welcome to Talk of the Nation, Dan.
Hi, Lynn. Nice to be here.
So tell me, what is it about midlife that might make someone think, what I need is a sexy car?
Well, I don't know. You know, the weird thing about midlife and automobiles is that it's a moving target. First of all, midlife itself is a moving target. Uh-huh. You know, demographically, people who in their 60s consider themselves in midlife.
Yeah, they're going to push that up to 80, too, you know.
I'm all in favor of it's like, you know, he died at 80, snatched untimely from our midst.
Right.
And also the nature of the crisis has changed. You know, it used to be midlife crisis used to be a calamity of machismo. But now, you know, especially with regard to cars, it's about redefining yourself in midstream so that, you know, you want to be hip, you want to be cool, you want to be current. And so with regard to cars, 20 years ago, you would have bought, for example, the new Corvette ZR1, which has 620 horsepower and 200 mile per hour car. It's the first $100,000 Corvette was on display at Detroit. But you're just as likely, or perhaps far more likely, to buy a hybrid to demonstrate your green credentials.
Right. So wait, let me ask you. Of course, you're in LA, which is, you know, a place where, midlife or not, people have to have the hottest car, right? First of all.
Are you suggesting we're self-involved?
I just know you know, cars are kind of important in LA.
They are.
And the other thing I'm wondering is this something that's mostly a male thing, that the midlife car is more important to men than to women?
Well, again, another interesting sort of tracking phenomenon with cars is that it used to be a solely male phenomenon, but now it's clearly a sexually dimorphic phenomenon. Women have midlife crises. And so if you're a woman, say, you know, a working woman, 50 years old, kids are growing up, and you have the opportunity to sort of indulge yourself in an automobile, well, what would you get? Well, you could get a new BMW 1 Series, which is the car that they're coming out with. It's a small, compact convertible. They make it in a convertible form. And it's very expressive and fun. I mean, it's a reward for a life well spent. Or you might buy the smart car, which is the tiny little European city car that they're just now bringing to the United States. I got an email from a woman today who said she'd ordered the first one and it was arriving in California, and she couldn't sleep. She was so excited. And I think that's clearly a manifestation of a kind of a midlife desire.
Yeah. And am I crazy, or did I see a story about a car that drives itself?
Well, yes. What's happening is that the good folks at the Pentagon, through DARPA, their advanced research wing, have been sponsoring the DARPA Grand Challenge. And it is an attempt to sort of foster these automated autonomous driving technologies. And the advantage there is if a car drives itself, it talks to other cars, traffic can be expedited, accidents can be avoided. If accidents can be avoided, these cars themselves can be made lighter because they don't have to be big steel boxes to sustain crash energies. And so they save fuel. Many cascading advantages to this technology. And it's coming, you know, like for example, the Infiniti EX35 has lane departure correction. So
right.
If you happen to wander out of the lane, the car will correct and pull you back in the lane.
Wow, that's interesting.
You may or may not like that. You can turn it off, thank God.
Well, this self-driving thing kind of appeals to me as midlife. You know, I like the idea of not having to – I can't afford a chauffeur, but I don't have to drive.
Right.
However, imagine, I think I'll be well past midlife before those cars are on the highway, I would think.
Well, maybe not. I don't know how old you are. But imagine this. You get in your car, you punch the button, and then you read the paper while the car drives you to work.
Incredible. What about speed? What about, you know, that's what I think that, I mean, that's my sort of idea of what somebody would want to get them out of some kind of midlife slump, that they would want a really slick, speedy car.
There are some slick, speedy cars out there. The frontiers of horsepower and top speed are being pushed back all the time. I mentioned the Corvette ZR1, 620 horsepower, 595 foot-pounds of torque, over 200 miles per hour. There is the Cadillac CTS-V. Now, this is a regular Cadillac, right? But it's got 550 horsepower. And then there's the Audi R8 V12 TDI. This is a diesel car. So if you want to be a little bit greener with your supercar, you can, you know, claim that.
Uh-huh.
And it also is a 200-mile-per-hour car. So there's a lot of big, fast cars out there if you want to go that fast.
Tell me a little bit more about the green cars that are out there.
Well, if you didn't have a battery story or an electric story or a hybrid story at the Detroit Auto Show this week, you didn't have any story to tell. You know, both Ford and Dodge came out with their new pickup trucks. Well, the Ford F-150 pickup truck is the best-selling vehicle in America, has been for donkey's years. And nobody cared, right? Because it's just another pickup, you know, and it's just one more nail in that particular coffin. But for example, Honda displayed something that would be kind of called a Prius pickup. It's a, you know, it's the Prius, but it's also in a pickup format. A company named Fisker, started by Henrik Fisker, who's a famous designer, is showed an $80,000 sports car, long, sleek, erotic shape that was a plug-in battery hybrid. And so when, for example, 4 years ago, nobody was talking about electric cars. Nobody was talking about batteries or Prius. The only car out there that was credible in this was a Prius. Now everybody's got to have one.
All right. Well, we are talking about midlife crisis cars with Dan Neal, Los Angeles Times automobile critic. The number to call is 800-989-8255. We're going to take a call now. We're going to go to Mark, and Mark is calling from Babylon, New York. Hi, Mark.
Hi.
Are you having a midlife crisis, Mark?
Well, I don't know. It's a kind of a combined, maybe an early midlife crisis with fear of mortality. I'm a 44-year-old physician. I run a medical practice. It's a 7-day-a-week operation, and I have no sort of backup coverage. I currently drive a 2006 Mustang convertible, and I'm actually trading it in on a very large Ford F-250 truck, so that the traffic here on Long Island is a little bit rough. And the fear is that if I get into an accident, I'm going to be out of commission and won't be able to function the practice. So I'm looking for something to protect myself in the midlife years.
You want a big car.
You know, it's part of it is because, you know, I don't have I'm a solo practitioner. I don't have any backup. And the other part is somebody who drives, you know, a fair amount between hospital and office, I just don't want to have a situation where I can get into a really terrible accident and not function in my job.
All right. Well, thanks for calling, Mark.
Appreciate the time. Bye-bye.
So does that seem like a common direction to go in, Dan?
That's crazy talk. here are a couple of things to think about. One, a pickup truck is not safer. It's dynamically far less stable. And I like the fact that, you know, he wants to survive, so he's going to put somebody else out of commission. They're treacherous to drive in snow. They have higher rollover percentages, they really don't protect you. They have far longer braking distances. So when you add it all up, the sort of the envelope of performance, you know, it's not just about being able to take a good lick. It's about being able to avoid an accident. Pickup truck is a terrible choice for that,
right.
Especially a Ford F-250. I mean, holy cow! Is he going to drag the practice back and forth?
Well. I'm afraid I let it. He's not here to
defend
himself.
Mark was still with us. You know, please send me an email, Mark. I can straighten you out.
I don't know what I can do to defend his choice there. He may be regretting he ever called.
He might be.
We did hear something similar from Jeff from Columbus, Ohio. He says, "I'll be 50 this fall. My midlife crisis car will be a 32-foot recreational vehicle, either a Winnebago Outlook or one from Coachman Industries. It's all
yes.
about it's all about size, baby, is what he says.
Yes. Well, whatever. It's just, I'm not going there. Well, I mean, super duper. I mean, as long as you're not commuting in it, I mean, those things are amazing. And the good news is on this front is that RVs, their sales have been strikingly robust considering, fuel costs. And that's because there's more and more boomers retiring. And they've also become more fuel efficient. And that's great as long as I'm not stuck behind one on a mountain road.
Okay. We are talking about midlife crisis cars with Dan Neal, the Los Angeles Times automobile critic. If you'd like to join our conversation, the number is 800-989-8255. And, of course, you can send us an email to talk@npr.org. And I want to remind our listeners that you are listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. We're going to take a call now from Melody, and Melody is calling us from Syracuse. Hi, Melody.
Hi. Many years ago, I saw my fantasy car, and I never got it. I saw a hippie driving along the thruway, and she had a great bright green Volkswagen Beetle with big wheels, a surfboard attached to the top, a cage for her parrot. A war is not healthy for children and other living things, and a peace sign on the side. And I said, oh, God, if I could have that, I would have my childhood.
So that's what you're going for?
Oh, if I could. The only thing is, if they could make it greener, that would, like, gild the lily. That would be perfect.
So, wait, do you want a new Volkswagen Beetle or the old Volkswagen
Beetle?
Oh, if
I could get an old one, that'd be great. But I go, if they come out with one that's a little bit greener, they have me.
Are we talking color or green environmental? Because I've got the car for you if you mean environmental.
Well, environmental and lime green.
Oh, well, then let me send you on your way. They have a Volkswagen new Beetle with a 1.8 turbo diesel engine. Gets about 50 miles to the gallon. I mean, it's not 50, it's like 45 miles to the gallon. It's insane. And and you can get one. You can pick one at a used car lot, and they're terrific cars. Always have been.
All right,
I can relive my childhood.
Go ahead, Melody. Thanks. Glad we could help you out with that.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling. And we're going to go next to Alan, and Alan is calling from Bakersfield, California. Hi, Alan.
Hello there.
Go ahead.
Hey, great subject today. I like it. I do want to, first of all, though, challenge the concept of the midlife crisis. A buddy of mine and I have discussed this, and we both bought toys, but it really had little to do with recapturing youth and everything to do with the fact that only now, A, we have no kids to carry around, and B, we can afford it. So I bought my MX-5 Mazda. I'd always wanted one. It wasn't a matter of I just got to a point and said, I think I'm going to go out and buy a sports car. I'd always wanted one, but only now was it practical, and was there enough extra in the budget?
Okay, there you go. Mm-hmm.
I dig that. First of all, great car, great choice.
Awesome car.
It's an epic sports car. Absolutely.
You know what's interesting? Let me get your opinion on my second one. I have a builder, actually, that I'm rebuilding. It's a 65 Corvette Corsa turbo convertible.
That's after they fix the rear end, isn't it?
Oh, very much so, yes. This is the trailing arm rear suspension. And plus, even that swing axle thing, that was way overstated,
I don't know. I dragged the door handles on one of those. That's a fabulous builder, just to bring the audience up to speed. We're talking about the Corvair with the hot engine, 1965. This was shortly before they discontinued the car altogether. And a terrific-looking automobile. You're building this yourself?
Yeah, I bought it from, actually, believe it or not, the original owner, and it had sat for like 24 years, and I had it running and driving within the weekend, but, it needs a lot, so I've got the powertrain out of it right now, just cleaning it up and resealing it to put it back in.
Well, Lynn, I would just only point out about these two cars and the question of midlife crisis, both of these cars are very low. One of the things I've noticed at the auto show is that car seats are getting higher and higher. They have a higher, what's called an H point, where the hip in relation to the floor, like the BMW X6 and the Mercedes-Benz GLK and the Cadillac Provoke and the Ford Edge. All these cars are easier to get into because I think, you know, older people are a little stiff of joint and they feel more comfortable. And our caller is obviously still very spry.
Well, not necessarily. You haven't seen me climb in and out of the Mazda yet. It does get tricky sometimes, but boy, is it a blast to drive.
All right. Well, thanks so much for your call. Good hearing from you. We're going to try and get one more quick call in here. This is our last call because we only have a little time left. It's Dennis from Charlotte, North Carolina. Go ahead, Dennis.
Yes. I recently saw on TV a Hyundai SUV that a guy had converted by putting some batteries in, all local purchase parts, and it would go 40 miles on one battery charge and would do up to 80 miles an hour. Do you know anything about that product?
Well, I know that a lot of people are doing these conversions, and it's technically possible to do, but you can't sell a product like – manufacturers can't sell a product like that in the main market because, you know, the batteries wear out too quickly. It's too expensive. You really don't get your investment back in fuel savings. But 5 years from now, you will be able to walk into a Hyundai dealership or some other dealership and buy a car very similar to that in concept.
All right. Well, thanks so much for your call, Dennis. And just as a last question for you, and this is very quick, Dan, what do you recommend to a woman who is driving a almost 20-year-old Volvo?
I recommend the Volvo C30. Just cute as a bug, great car, very safe, just terrific.
All right. Thanks very much. We were talking with Dan Neal, Los Angeles Times automobile critic, and this is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Lynn Neary.